Today, as I told you here a little bit ago last week, we're taking a little bit of a break. You have been sitting very well, and you have been learning from the Lord all the things that we need to firm up a foundation, to truly say this is who we are as a people. And yet there are still more things that we need to learn. We're going to learn about repentance. We're going to learn about witnessing. We're going to learn about a few other of the Master's outlines through the Scriptures. But today, we're going to look upon the name of Jesus Christ, just to take a break and to give you that sense of saying, we've learned so much. Now let us worship Him who we've learned so much about, and the faith that we've been earning our names into. For there is a name in which we come, and we all know that name. There is but one name by which man may be saved, correct? And His name is Jesus. But if we look to the Scriptures, we also see that there are descriptors of Christ, and they are called His names. So as we come this day and next week, we're going to be looking at some of the names of Christ, some of the ways that God uses, some of the pictures that God gives us to explain to us and to show to us who the Lord Jesus is in our lives. And I think it's a wonderful reality that we can worship Jesus in so many wonderful ways because He has given us the reality of His names throughout all the Scriptures to show us the fullness of who He is. And I think there's something amazing about a name, because we all have names, right? Every name that's ever been given has a meaning, okay? And I think it's funny because I don't know how many of our parents literally sit down and think about what our name means when they give it to us, because if they did, they probably wouldn't have given us the name they gave us, right? But when we think about the names of Jesus, I want you to think also that there's another name that you're going to hear about. And that's the name that God is going to give you on the day you stand before Him. Because though you've been given a name by your earthly parents, God has a name for you too. And that name will describe who you are concerning Himself. I can't wait to that day. So until that day, let us revel in the name of Jesus in the various forms therein. Would you sing with me as the hymn comes up on the screen? His name, for His name is wonderful. His name is Mighty Counselor. His name is God. As we look to the names of Christ, there are going to be just a couple that we're going to look at here. And the first one that I really would like us to look at, as I said, we're just taking a little bit of a break, but that break is meant to draw us to the one whom we're learning so much about the foundation that He's been building in us, and why that foundation is so real and so relevant in our lives. So this morning, as we look to the name of Christ, this first one that we're going to look at is the name, the Morning Star. So I want you to turn in your Scriptures, if you would, to Revelations 2 and 28. Revelations 2 and 28. From the book of Revelation, in the second chapter, in the 28th verse, it says a strange thing here. And some of you might look at this and well, let's read it, and then we'll go into it. It says here in verse 28, I will also give him the morning star. Okay? Now this is Christ talking to the seven churches. Okay? And He's talking about the reality of when Christ comes, He's going to give something to the Christ. And He's giving this to Christ. I will also give Him the morning star. Well, you think to yourself, okay, well, if God's going to give us the morning star, how is this Jesus' name? Well, because it is. It is a name that has been given to Him by the Father, and He's bringing it, drawing us unto it. And how do I get that? Well, back in the book of Luke, if you wish to turn there, you certainly may. It's Luke in the first chapter. we begin to understand that the morning star has a great importance in the life of every believer and in where God is going to be taking us. Because God says here in verse 76, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." In this, we are shown that this new sun, this rising sun is going to come, this dawning sun, this dawning star. We all know that the sun, our sun, is a star, correct? Okay? But how does that tie into the name of Christ? Well, the reality is we also know that this is speaking of a spiritual happening within the body of Christ. And Jesus Christ is the morning star. He is that which comes after the darkness. He comes in the midst of the darkness. And right now, when we look at our world, we see that we are in the midst of a great darkness. When you look around and you see all the things that are happening in life, you know, you teenagers out there, how many of you go to school and you fear the fact that you're a Christian because it's not a popular thing right now? You should never fear it. You should embrace it because you are light. And the darkness that's coming against you is going to get darker. Parents, you understand where your children are because you're receiving it in the workplace. And you're receiving it in the grocery stores. And you're receiving it wherever you happen to be. But the morning star is coming. He who is the light of the world is coming. This morning star speaks of His second coming. It speaks unto the reality that Christ is going to be the light of heaven and there will be no more darkness. As we look at the morning star, turn also to 2 Peter 19. 2 Peter 1 and 19, which is just beyond the book of Hebrews a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. In verse 19, I was in 1 Peter. I thought, wait a minute, that's not right. 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 19, we get a little bit more of a reality of what's coming on here. He says, "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to the light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Again, that morning star is the name of Christ. It is a representation of what He is like. For light is coming, and He is dawning in our lives. And no matter where we are, we yet walk in darkness, do we not? For sin is still in us. And He is our morning star. And I think it's amazing. When does it seem the darkest? Just before the dawn, right? If you're a hunter and you're out there in the woods, and most of you guys know what I'm talking about because I take you out there hunting and you've been out there for years yourselves, and you know, some of you guys that go fishing, you go out before the daybreak and it's dark, it's pitch dark out there. But when that sun starts coming up, what happens to the darkness? It leaves, doesn't it? It goes away. And as Christ rises in us, the knowledge of God, the love of God, the salvation of God, our days begin to be enlightened. He is the great and morning star. And from Him and unto Him, all things have come and all things shall be reconciled. Okay? In the beginning, God said what? What was the first thing that He did? He created light. Let there be light. And then man sinned, and darkness entered into the world. And the last word is, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." Right? The last word is Jesus Christ. He is the great and morning star, shining into our hearts and through us into the hearts and lives of others. So this day, as we come to our medley and as our children are dismissed, may we come to the place of understanding that His name is wonderful. His name is life. His name is the morning star, the one who dawns in our lives to bring us to that place of light and life. For He is wonderful. And as the bread of life, we know Him probably oh so well. Turn in your scriptures, if you would, to John in the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 35. And from this place, we will come to gain one of the greater teachings that Christ brought to the peoples about one of His names, just one of His names, but it is one of the greater teachings. There are several that Christ taught on Himself, but this one is one that the church experiences on a very real basis often, and yet I wonder just how much more there is here. From the 35th verse, we read these words. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that He has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." At this, the Jews began to grumble about Him because He said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can He now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, lest you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." Blessed be the word of the Lord. In these verses, as Jesus is calling himself the bread of life, and that we must eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, Jesus is talking about not his physical self, but that which is truly him. Okay? Jesus is, as we know from John 1:1, what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. We need to understand that he's talking about the Word. We need to take the Word into ourselves. That's why when we take of communion, he says, "This bread is my body broken for you." That's his Word. And we are taking his Word into us. The bread is simply a symbol. Okay? We don't worship bread. okay? We have Wonder Bread. In fact, I don't even know if they make Wonder Bread anymore. But we don't worship bread. We worship the one who is the bread of life. For he came down out of heaven, and he feeds us his word, which is himself. And in that word we find life, and it's the only thing that brings life. We need to understand that we eat as human beings, both physically and spiritually. You cannot be a human being and not eat both foods. You must eat physically and spiritually. However, there are many who eat spiritual darkness unto themselves, and they find themselves in darkness. They find themselves void and constantly hungry. I want you to think about that. When you were outside of Christ, how many things in this world did you run after trying to find fullness of self? Who am I? Why am I here? But it's only when we eat upon the Word of God that we understand that why I'm here is to love God. Why I'm here is to reconcile myself to God, to be in communion with Him. And Jesus says, you have no communion with me lest you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And he who eats and drinks shall hunger and thirst no more. Now, does that mean you're never going to be hungry again? You're never going to be thirsty again? Absolutely not. But what it means is this. You know that which satisfies. You know that which answers the question. Okay? The people in the desert ate manna. Isn't this wonderful? That was truly bread from heaven, wasn't it? Poured out on the ground, and they got to go out and collect it up. And what did they do the whole time they were eating it? That's darn manna. How many of you would like to eat the same thing every day, every day, every day, every day for 40 years? We lived with a gentleman, we called him Pop. Every morning he would get up, he would have his cereal, which was bran flakes, yuck, a half a grapefruit, six, not five, not seven, six spice cookies, and a cup of coffee. Every day. And from what I understand, when I say every day, that meant every day before we ever met him. And yet, that's what he wanted. He found that which had satisfied. This was his breakfast. When we come to the Lord, it's much the same for us. We find that which satisfies, and we keep coming back to him and feasting on him who is the bread of life. We feast on all that he is, all that he taught, all that he wants us to be, for he is the fullness of God. So we are feasting on the fullness of God that we may become what? Like him. How many people do you know? You know, it's funny because we all pick on the police officers. They eat donuts, right? They eat donuts. Go to any donut shop, you'll find a cop car there, right? And after a while, they all begin to resemble donuts, right? Round about the middle, okay? We become what we eat, amen? So when we eat the bread of life, we become that life, not only in ourselves, but unto others, because we speak that very words of life to others, and then they begin to feast upon it. That's why God brought it to us in such a manner that it's something that we can give away. For the bread of life has come down from heaven to give us life. You know, we pray it every day, we pray it every Sunday. Give us this day our what? What are we talking about? You know, how many of us, we pray that, we think about food. Oh, Lord, give us our daily study. Give us our, I think I'm going to have Cornish hens tonight. That's not what he's talking about. What's he talking about? Lord, give us this day you. Sustain us, O Lord. Give us you. And as we receive you, now, O Lord, we can become like you. For we have taken you into us. And that's why Jesus says here that just as the Father is in him, so too when he is in us, what? We are in the Father. Do you see the Trinity working itself out here in each and every human life? And it starts with a word. It starts with a name. For I am, Jesus says, not me. I am the bread of life. And when we eat of him, we will live forever. For in that we have communion with him. For we are taking him into us in a very spiritual and real way. But when we come to the communion table, we do it symbolically in a physical way, representing what our faith already knows. For we partake every day that we lift up this book and read it into our lives. We are taking communion with God. We are eating the meat of his word and receiving the forgiveness of his blood through the sanctifying grace of Jesus Christ. For he says to us, I am the morning star. I am the bread of life. I am the fairest Lord Jesus. Would you sing with me as we close out this portion of our service this day? Hymn number 104, Fairest Lord Jesus, verses 1 and 4.